Moss. It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on WSB. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls and your questions. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. There's a lot going on. So here we are, the last day of May. It's the last day of May, 31. And we've got 2 hours together, so there's lots to cover. I have highlights, lowlights today. Today, I have a lot more on the low light section. So every Saturday night, what a cool way to spend Saturday night. I put together highlights, lowlights for the past week and then try to figure out where we're headed with this stock market and the economy. And today, if you go back 15 years, I don't remember thinking as much about Europe and all the different Asian economies and what Russia was doing. To some extent, Russia has been always in there creating havoc or causing havoc. But economically today, we're trying to figure out not just the United States, but we're trying to figure out South America, we're trying to figure out Europe, Asia. So all of that comes together to figure out where we're headed. And really for our stock market, just like stock markets in the European economies, and stock markets like the Shanghai index that dropped almost 7% in one day just this week, we've got to figure out what growth looks like in America, because it still matters how we grow here and what the Federal Reserve does here with interest rates and then how it impacts your retirement portfolio. So that's what we're headed or trying to do every Sunday here on Money Matters. So if you have questions today that relate back to all the things that you've been trying to do just to be a good, steady investor over time and stay the course. And if you feel as though you're starting to go off course for any reason or there's something scaring you, then I'm here to talk about it. I did a talk last week about interest rates and really what the nuances of when rates rise, what really happens. It's not just a straight line calculation, meaning that the Federal Reserve raises rates a little bit on their portion that they control. Remember, the open marketplace controls the rest of where interest rates go, like the 10-year treasury and the 30-year and what mortgage rates really do. Well, it's not just that rates go up and all rates go up. It might be the Federal Reserve raises their rate and we go from zero to a half or a whole full 1%, and the rest of rates may not do a whole lot or may only go up just a small fraction of that. So it's much more complicated than a straight line. Rates go up by the Fed, the whole entire interest rate curve continues to go up. So I did a talk about that. And by the way, that's important for the financial assets that you own. Anything that you own that's an investment, whether it's real estate or it's a stock portfolio or a bond portfolio or a real estate, a REIT, publicly traded REIT, they all get impacted by interest rates. And that's why it's so important. But they're not all interest rate rises are not created equal is the bottom line here. So I did a talk about that. And then I went into Janet Yellen, and we've talked about that here on the show, about her talking about the valuation of interest rates or the valuation of the stock market. I think part of that is her worry about Ben Bernanke making so much money working for hedge funds. And at some point she wants to do the same thing. But then I got to Chime, our economic symphony of data that comes in just constantly. And then what happens to it? And what is the whole, what's the totality of economic data here in the United States? Is it staying flat? Are we going negative? Or is it improving? And I have a slightly new way to look at Chime where I can really grade the economy from an A plus all the way to an F as in fail. And then anywhere in between. And I want to get to that today as far as scoring where this economy is. Do we get a C? Do we get a B? Do we get an A? Or are we in F as in fail mode? And we're going to talk about that today here on this show, which leads me to the Dirty Dozen. I went back to notes from a talk that I did all the way back in 2011. And I realized that in 09 and 10 and 11, when the world was even scarier because we were still fresh off of the financial crisis, there was still more fear swirling around. So I would usually go over what I call a dirty dozen. Those are the 12 scariest things on the table right now that impact our money. Interestingly, the list certainly changed. If I just redid the dirty dozen, I just redid it for this week. The list isn't that different, but there's still plenty of scary things. So we're going to do dirty dozen. We'll do highlights, lowlights around the world. And of course, I'll take your calls and your questions. So if something feels as though you're getting off track or you're worried about some particular area, or if it's just a financial planning question about, do I take a pension or a lump sum? There's always companies offering these packages so that they can get you off their books. Hey, looks like John over here is going to get a pension of $2,500 for the rest of his life. And God forbid, Frank, what if John lives till he's 103? We're going to have to pay this guy a lot of money. See if he'll take $150,000 today so we don't have to pay him for the rest of our life. That's an early retirement package. And that happens all the time, particularly here in Atlanta, where there are lots of Fortune 500 companies that are always watching their earnings, their bottom lines, because they're publicly traded and they need to always increase their profit margins and what they earn. And part of that is cleaning up liabilities or future liabilities off their balance sheet, hence, quote unquote, early retirement. So if you have a pension question, an IRA question, 401k, that's what we can tackle here together, at least get a second opinion here on Sunday mornings. The number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go. Ryan, you tell me we already have to go to the phones or can I get to my dirty dozen here? What do we do? Oh, he's telling me we got to go right to the phones here. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Sharla from Tyrone, Georgia.
Yes, the big city. I have a question about these. They're being touted as variable annuities, which can be used in lieu of money market for 1, 3, or 5 years. You're guaranteed to not ever lose your principal if the market drops, but you are also guaranteed a certain percentage, I don't know, 4 or 5%, if it goes up. But if it went up 10 or 20%, you would not get that. You just would never lose your principal if it dropped.
Oh, you're talking about, that doesn't sound like a variable annuity to me, or that sounds more like what's called a structured product.
AXA is a big, right now, they're really pushing these.
So, okay, so this is from someone at AXA, or is this someone at another firm that is selling an AXA-type product?
Well, it's just, I was told about it by someone at another firm. I'm not being offered it, or he's not pushing it. It's just that I was told about it when I was complaining about not earning anything in the money market.
Well, I think what you're referring to really are called structured products. And I've been here getting more and more questions about structured products over the last few months. And I think part of it is that money markets, this isn't a new phenomenon. They've been at zero for years and years now.
Right.
Interestingly, one of the big custodians that had a rate of 0.1 just recently dropped their rate from 0.1 to 0.006.
Right.
As if it could go any lower. Let's continue to split hairs here. But I think what you're talking about is structured products. Here's the bottom line, Charlotte, is that you've got to be careful with these because they're really debt instruments. Typically, they are backed by a big insurance company or brokerage firm like AXA, which is a gigantic global insurance company, or one of the big Wall Street firms called JP Morgan, Bank of America. Any big Wall Street firm can issue debt that has a decent credit rating. And these can work out really well, at least let's say better than just sitting money in money market, but they're often not sold that way. Now, in it sounds like what you're talking about here is, hey, if your money's just sitting around doing nothing and it's going to stay in cash and do nothing for the next 2 or 3 years, then why not invest it in something like one of these structured products where you potentially could get a piece of the market upside? And what a structured product effectively is, think of it as a bond. So it's a debt instrument backed by a big company so that as long as the company's solvent in 2 or 3 years, you get your money back. But they effectively buy an option on the upside and the downside, and they tie that option to a particular market. Let's call it the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, and they'll say, well, we'll give you a third of the upside for the S&P 500 if you stay in this for 3 years, but the most you can lose is 2% of the downside or 5% of the downside. So they give you a window that is more favorable to a low-risk environment. And if you're comparing it to just plain old money market, and as long as the company doesn't go out of business, then I think that they do make a little bit of sense. The problem with these is that they're often part of an overall portfolio, and they're trying to replace, or usually what I see them being sold as a piece of your stock portfolio. So it's a conservative part of the stock portfolio because you're going to get a portion of the upside of the market. These are the way these are structured, the options that these companies buy on the upside and the downside, they're heavily favored towards them making money, meaning that they're making money when they buy these options. You're paying for it effectively due to the nature of the potential outcome. So all the prices of buying all these options, it's priced into the packaged product that you buy. And again, if you're going to leave money in a money market that's doing zero, and this has the potential to give you a little bit of the upside of a particular index, then I think they're okay. The problem, though, is that I remember very clearly back in 07, 08, that one of the very biggest distributors or creators of these structured products, Charlotte, that you're talking about, was Lehman Brothers. And Lehman Brothers had billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars out there in structured products. And then when they went under, those structured products effectively went to zero. So remember, there's still a debt obligation of the company that issues them. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with AXA, but if something were to happen, you still have to worry about putting such large chunks of money in really what's backed by only one particular company. It'd be like putting a whole lot of money in just one particular bond, which is always a little scary to me. 404-872-0750, straight ahead. Dirty Dozen, what do we have to look out for here in this economy and stock market when more money matters, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here on the last day of May, Sunday morning, 404-872-0750. So slight news flash from between the breaks where Ryan and I typically talk about the upcoming calls and questions that we have and some of the ones that we just answered. And one of the ones that we just talked to a woman in Tyrone, Georgia, the great city of Tyrone. And there was a question about what I have known as structured products that get sold by big banks. And she had asked about the overlayer now of them also being called variable annuities or sold as some sort of annuity as well. And Brian brought this to my attention, and this is a new phenomenon. What's happening is that these traditional structured products, again, some sort of, it's really a bond or a debt instrument with a couple different options layered into it so that you can capture potentially a part of a market upside and limit part of a downside. So they're rather complex in their package. And of course, the big companies that put them together, there's a fair amount of fees inside of them that they can generate, but they are being sold as some sort of variable annuity product called structured capital strategies. So not structured products, but structured capital strategies. If they're overlayered or packaged as variable annuities, then insurance agents can sell these now. So you don't have to be a registered financial advisor if they're now structured as insurance products. So they can now be sold through insurance agencies or through insurance brokers or salespeople. So that's kind of interesting to me, is that now what's happened is you have a product that was traditionally Wall Street, derived by Wall Street, now has just slowly migrated into the insurance industry. There's a new facade on top of it, so a whole new group of people can sell it because there's big fees and commissions inside of that. Now, I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong at all, but I am saying that I never like to see that kind of migration from one industry to another, just because why are they doing it? Well, obviously, because there's huge fees generated to do so. And that's typically a recipe for disaster. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Straight ahead, more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB. We're live here the last day of May. So if you have calls and questions, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to kind of talk it through like we typically do here on the air. 404-872-0750. We're going to go to the phones in 1 minute. But remember, let's go back to the Dirty Dozen, all the things that were scary in the world that impacted your money back in around this time in 2011. We had MENA, which is Middle East, North Africa, turmoil. We had oil and gas prices surging. We had inflation worries because of that. We were worried interest rates were about to go up. We were worried about the housing market still. We were very nervous about what was happening in China and if they were going to have an economic slowdown or recession. The euro crisis was full speed ahead in the euro debt crisis. We were still worried about, remember the tsunami and the radiation impact from that in Japan? We're worried about a stock market correction. Aren't we always worried about that? We're worried about a bond bubble. We're worried about U.S. debt and Social Security. And then we're worried about unemployment. And that was in, and I went back, and this is just from a talk I did several years ago. And I went back and looked at where the Dow, what level the Dow Jones Industrial Average was. And the day I did this particular talk, because I had a date on my note page that I'd saved in a Word document, that same date, the Dow was floating right around 12,000. 12,000. And then you fast forward 46 months from then, almost 4 years later, that all that nervousness and all that scary stuff on that list, now the Dow's over 18,000. So that's 6,000 Dow points, despite all of those issues. Pretty remarkable. 6,000 Dow points, despite all of those scary issues, despite the Dirty Dozen. Today, here's the now. Here's the nervousness now. We're worried about what Janet Yellen's saying, head of now the new head of Federal Reserve. It's not Ben Bernanke anymore. New Fed chair, Yellen, and she's talking about stock market valuation. We're still worried about interest rates going up. We remember what we called a taper tantrum. Oil prices, and they're not going up anymore, but the crash of oil prices, that's stabilized to a high degree, but we're still worried about the fluctuation of those prices. We're worried about stagflation today, not inflation. Still worried about the Middle East. And this time it's more about ISIS as opposed to Middle East and North Africa. Housing, U.S. slowdown here, a flat quarter one. In fact, we're actually negative for quarter one. We just reported this Friday. We found out that GDP was almost negative 1% for the first quarter. We're worried about a China slowdown. And by the way, the Shanghai Index was down almost 7% in one day this week. We're worried about Greece leaving the Eurozone. We're still worried about a bond bubble. We're still worried about U.S. debt and Social Security. And now, instead of dollar weakness, we're worried about dollar strength. So the list is very similar to what was back 4 years ago with some new scary players. And that's just the reality of the world we live in. That list never goes away. It just changes. It just evolves. Some areas drop off and something new comes to give us fear. And that's the wall of worry that stock markets have to climb. There has to be this sense of, well, what could happen if, or if this happens, then the market could go down. If we didn't have that, then you'd have this over exuberance and optimism and everybody be piling in and just emotionally and economically, you create a bubble. Very quickly, a bubble happens and then it bursts because you get overvaluation. So you have to look at the valuation of this market, which today is a heck of a lot better valuation, meaning we're paying a lot less today for stocks and earnings than we were 15 years ago in the year 2000. And that gives me comfort that, sure, we could have a correction at 10% at any time, and it could happen over the course of a couple of weeks. There's that much froth in any market. But fundamentally, we don't see this huge overvaluation in the market like we did 15 years ago and we did about 7 years ago at the start of the great financial crisis. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio. We're headed to Acworth to speak with Deborah.
Hi.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Hey, Deborah. What's going on?
Well, I'm 61 years old. I want to retire when I'm 63. And I have two pensions from two separate companies. They're not very large. I've also got an IRA, a Roth IRA, and my Social Security.
Got it.
So our house will be paid off July of next year. We'll be completely debt free.
Wow. So no more mortgage coming up.
No more mortgage. And so I'm trying to determine what is the best way, what do I need to draw from besides Social Security?
Gosh, it sounds like you have the makings of what I would call a happy retiree. You've got all these little, not necessarily little, but you've got multiple ways you're getting your income. Pension one, pension two, you have you will have your Social Security, and then it sounds like you're married?
Yes, I am.
So your husband's Social Security, and then you get to draw from these other areas. You have your IRA, you have your Roth, and then I would also suspect you have some just non-IRA money that you've saved, so just good old-fashioned after-tax money or a brokerage account somewhere? Let's do this for
There's
just
not
a
very much in that though.
But the bulk is retirement type money,
right?
And that's a pretty common question. What do I use first? Do I use the IRA? Do I use the Roth? Well, typically it makes sense to use the Roth last, Deborah. And the good thing about retirement and when it comes to your taxes is that you really start to control the level of taxes that you're paying, because today you're working. And you get a paycheck, it's a W-2 paycheck, or you get 1099 income, and you have a pretty sizable tax rate because you're in your peak earning years. Well, you fast forward to 63 in your situation, and you're going to start taking Social Security, and you get a couple of pensions. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have to pay FICA anymore, which is almost 7.5% that comes out of your paycheck. By the way, here in the state of Georgia, your Georgia state taxes are going to come way down because you start to get an exemption starting at age 62.
That's good.
So you're going to, by the age 65, you get a full $65,000 in Georgia state tax exemption. So your 6% you're paying will virtually go away for most people. So you get this huge, you actually get a pretty decent size, it's a very significant tax break when you're in retirement. And then the key is to control your income, because now you're only pulling out what you really need from the IRA. So if you only need an extra $10,000 a year beyond social and your pensions, or 15, that's all you pull out. And you do it from the IRA, not the Roth yet, and you keep your tax bracket really low. So you might drop from a 20% bracket all the way down to a 10, or 20% effective rate today, all the way down to a 10. And that's really significant. So let me ask you a couple quick questions here.
Okay.
Do you have a ballpark number for spending, either just annually or monthly, that you think you'll be spending now once that mortgage is paid off, which is really soon?
Probably.
The suspense.
I would say like $2,500 a month.
That's it?
Yeah.
God bless. The suspense to wait to hear what Deborah spends per month. $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
Survey says that's $30,000 a year. And now here's what you have to do. So that's your spending. That's your after-tax money. You need that in net dollars. Now let's gross it up for taxes, because really you've got to now net down to $30,000. Let's assume what I think is probably going to even be high for you. Let's assume a 15% overall tax rate.
Okay.
So that $30,000, Deborah, we just divide that by 0.85. Now you need about $35,000 gross to net down to 30.
Okay.
So let's take that $35,000, and this is a good old-fashioned, I call this FTG, filling the gap. How much, if you added up your monthly social and your pensions, what is that going to be per month if you start all of it at 63? And by the way, if you're not going to work, it might make sense, Deborah, to take your social starting at age 63. If you're going to stop working, I know most of the time you hear, oh, wait, don't take until you're 70. I might be making the case for you to take it at 63. But what do those numbers look like? How much per month are you going to get from the pensions and social?
Probably a little under 1300.
1300.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. I love this math. We do a quick. So your monthly gross you need is $2,900. That's the third. That adds up to $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Minus $1,300, which you're going to get in pension and social. So now $2,900 minus $1,300 is easily $16,000. So you need $1,600 a month from all of your assets. You need about $19,000 to $20,000 a year.
Okay.
And you're going to be taking, for the most part, Deborah, from that IRA will be what needs to start paying you that income. Now, and then that could come from your IRA, could come from your husband's IRA or his 401k. But now that you guys are going to, you're post 59 and a half, you can get access to this money without any penalties. That's the money you're going to tap first. Then long term, maybe call it another 10 or 15 years, you may or may not, if you need it or not, start mm-hmm. tapping that Roth account. Approximately how much do you guys have in IRA money, IRA 401k money?
Well, and my husband doesn't have, he's only got a Roth.
Okay.
He is self-employed. And in my IRA, I've got probably about 130 right now.
All right, so 130, and you need about 1,600 times 12 is 19,000, divided by 130,000. So you're going to need to take, so that's about 14% from that balance. Well, what about the Roth, too? Let's include the Roth in there, too.
I've got about 14,000 in my Roth.
Okay, and then how about your husband, too?
My husband, he's probably got about 16.
So you have another 30 plus, you're 160, so over the next few years, so here's where you want to try to get this to.
Okay.
You want to try. Now, I know that you only have a few years of working, but you're in your mode where, hey, that mortgage is going to be paid off soon. So what's your mortgage payment right now?
$1,200.
Well, whatever you're saving today, now you're mm-hmm. going to be able to save an additional $1,200 as soon as the mortgage is paid off.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Let me tell you this also. My husband is about 2 years younger. Almost 3 years younger than I am. He has no plans on retiring anytime soon.
So it may be you at 63 retired, and your
right.
husband, he might work for another 5 or 6 years beyond that.
Probably, yeah.
Well, that's good because you don't want to tap this money if you don't need to.
Right.
And I've got this rule of thumb called the $1,000 a month rule. For every $1,000 you pull per month, you want about $240,000. And you need about 1,600, so you need more than the 240.
Okay.
And today, if I do all this math here, you're at really about 160. But guess what? You're saving $1,200 a month as soon as the mortgage is paid off.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is another $15,000. So right. you do that for another 6 years. Now you've saved another $86,000. You've got 160. Now all of a sudden, you have about $250,000.
Oh, okay.
That's so I'm just quickly doing this math here. This is just financial planning 101 stuff. Mm-hmm. But you have the next 6 years to save 15. That in addition to the 160 you guys have, now you're at 250. Now that's $1,000 a month. And oh, guess what, by the way, now your husband's social kicks in and mm-hmm. you're going to need less than the gap that I just talked about, which is 1600. So you see, this is actually all coming together. So Deborah from Ackworth, her retirement picture is kind of coming together in the 8th and 9th inning, and that's exactly what we love to see. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio. You can find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact us button on the left-hand side. Those questions come straight to me and the Money Matters team, and I get back to you within 12 to 48 hours. Stay tuned. News, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 tonight for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Okay, here we are, last day of the month, highlights, lowlights. Welcome back to Money Matters, by the way. 404-872-0750 as we head into the 10 o'clock hour. Well, just a lot more lowlights than there were highlights. Let's start with that GDP. So gross domestic product, that's the kind of granddaddy of all economic factors all combined into one. That's whether we grow or not. It was actually negative in the first quarter. We thought it was just slightly positive. Then they revise it 27 different times. The last revision, negative 0.7. So that's obviously not good news. But it's been a really common pattern. We've had these weak first quarters since the Great Recession. So I went back and I actually counted. We've had a lot of these one-quarter mini. They're not recessions. This recession has to be two negative quarters economically of GDP. We've had a bunch of just single quarters. So I went back to since 2008, we've had 2010 Q3, we had a slight negative. 2012, we were flat. 2013, the third quarter, we basically had a small economic correction, if you will. But none of those turned into big recessions. And that's really what it looks like today, is that even though we had this bad first quarter, second quarter doesn't look like it's that bad. And the economic chime, or the confluence of all data that we look at, I'm going to give you a score in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm going to actually give a grade from F as in Frank or fail all the way to A as in A+. And we'll talk about where we stand economically. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. To the left, there's a contact us button. We'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours. Straight ahead news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.